You're listening to Under a Pile of Books, and in this episode, I sit down with Caitlin G. of Realms of My Mind. The two of us talk about how she discovered self-published fantasy and some of what goes into her own reading of self-published fantasy now, how she goes about reviewing, and a bunch of other topics that are really fun. I think you're going to enjoy this episode a lot. So without further ado, here comes my conversation with Caitlin G. All right. Well, hello, everyone. Once again, it's awesome to get a chance to be with you and talk on another podcast. On this special episode, I am here with Caitlin G. From Realms of My Mind, which is her blog, though she also reviews over at Fantasy Book Critic. So welcome, Caitlin.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get the chance to talk to you again and chat a little bit specifically about self-published fantasy. You know, we're here in the midst of self-published fantasy month, and I've had a lot of fun getting to be one of the co-hosts this year. And I know, or well, I'm pretty sure it was last year, maybe it was the year before, I can't remember, that you had mentioned on your blog and some other things starting to read more self-published fantasy. And so I'm curious, was your first exposure to self-published fantasy kind of last year? Was it before then? How'd you enjoy
it? Yeah, I'd say so. Self-published fantasy month, I think, kind of helped bring focus for me to self-published fantasy. It was something I was definitely aware of previously when I first started blogging. I came into the middle of the Spiffbo competition and whatnot, and was very confused and lost because I came in literally, I think, as the finalists were being handed out. But, you know, I'd read Never Die by Rob Hayes, which was a fantastic entry into self-published works. And I'd picked up things like Sword of Kaigan, which languished for far, 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 far too long on my TBR. And I'd picked up some other things on sales and things like that, but I hadn't really made an effort to get them to the top of my reading list. And so it was kind of a combination of self-published fantasy month. Orbit had picked up like three different series by self-published authors that year. That was kind of another spotlight of like, hey, there's quality stuff hiding in here. And then your podcast combined with Jason putting together Self-Published Fantasy Month, all these things were kind of coalescing to be like, Caitlin, you need to start making time for this because there is good stuff out here.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's when it comes to self-published fantasy, it's always, to me, it's always kind of an interesting thing to hear because people get exposed to it through so many different avenues. Some folks it's, the Spiffbo, like you mentioned, some folks it's self-published fantasy month. Others it's, they happen to pick up an author that they, you know, somebody recommended to them and they don't even realize it's self-published until, you know, maybe after they've read it and they go, and look some things up or whatnot. So, It's neat to see the different angles that folks come to self-published fantasy from, and I always think it's just creates interesting conversations around that. Now, as you've read some self-published fantasy, kind of what have your observations been? How have you enjoyed it, or kind of how have you kind of increased your exposure or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I think for self-published works, unfortunately, one of the biggest hurdles, I think, to getting people to read it is just because you don't have like the name brand of a publisher behind you. You have to hit so much more precisely with your cover and synopsis and everything, which is completely unfair because, you know, that is obviously something that costs money for a nice cover and can be a little bit limiting. But there is really quality writing out there. I mean, and especially there's quality short form works. I just read The Thief Who Pulled on Trouble's Braids for self-published fantasy month. I can say words. but, you know, that was like, you know, a 200-page book and it was fantastic. And it's one of those things that it really showcases, like, you don't have to write these 1,000-page novels to get quality writing. You can do a lot in very short spaces, which is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, one of the one of the things that I personally appreciate about self-published fantasies, I think we're seeing some things take place in the form of self-published fantasy that we wouldn't necessarily have the opportunity to see in traditionally published fantasy. And that's not a knock against traditionally published fantasy. It's just, you know, authors have limited spots and they're, you know, trying to make sure there's a market for these and, you know, everything. So, you know, they want to publish what they know will work. And so maybe there's a little less risk taking than in self-published fantasy where, you know, there's maybe not quite the same concerns. And for me, one of the neat things, you know, you mentioned The Thief Who Pulled on Trouble's Braids, which awesome.
Yes, I mean, fantastic. Actually, you know,
the first SPFBO winner, which is cool. But then we also have more recently, Deck Matthews has published his The First of Shadows, Dust of the Darkness.
Yes, I haven't read that, but I've heard people go absolutely crazy for it.
Yeah. Well, and what's so interesting is these are, you know, I mean, they're short novels, 50,000 words. Like, I mean, just over the line from, you know, novella or whatever. But they are very much epic fantasy in kind of a Brandon Sanderson vein. But just these short, very episodic kind of structure to it. And to me, that's so interesting. That's something you don't see in kind of traditionally published fantasy, and yet Deck is doing just a phenomenal job with it and writing these great little episodic books with these sprawling plot lines, but yet they come very much like a, you know, 45-50 minute, you know, episode or whatever. So it's kind of cool to see the different things that self-published fantasy can bring us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think to your points that, you know, the shorter form format is working to help kind of make these longer stories, because, you know, you don't have to worry about selling, you know, 9 books or whatever to a publisher. You can kind of just release, okay, you know, it's basically almost like a season of television. Here's episode 1, 2, 3, and you just kind of write them as you're ready. And it's interesting to kind of see, because I've liked series because I like coming back to like sitting down with your favorite characters, right? And it's nice when you can have these shorter adventures, and so you can come in and it's easier to commit to, you know, 10 books when they're each 200 pages a piece, and just say, all right, let's see what my favorite mischief makers are getting up to today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I say absolutely, and, you know, I can't wait for November and Rhythm of War, so I'm a total hypocrite, but, you know.
Yep. Yeah. Oathbringer has completely wrecked my TBR calendar for the rest of the year. It's everything's gone. But yep. That's another conversation.
That's right. That's right. Now, speaking of kind of monthly TBRs and whatnot, at the very end of 2019, if I'm not mistaken, one of your goals for 2020 was to read a self-published book a month. Now, yes. I know how these kind of goal setting things go, and sometimes you hit them, sometimes you don't. But I'm curious, how has that goal gone for you this year?
It's gone surprisingly well. You know, I had a little bit of a rough start because I had one that I just didn't click with, so I DNF'd. But I think I've managed to read at least one every single month. And that's been in part because some of these are shorter. You know, I was able to get in both of Brian McClellan's Valkyrie collections because they were each like 150 pages a piece. Loved them both. But the fact that they're shorter has made it easier to kind of squeeze them in between other reads. And, you know, I've really enjoyed it. And unfortunately, I've also fell in love with some new series that I now have to make room for somewhere in my TBR. but I've been very proud of the fact that I've managed to get at least one in a month, which has been great because I've been exposed to, you know, some awesome things along the way.
Yeah, that's very cool. And, you know, I love, for me, of course, I love reading self-published fantasy. I also love when other people kind of discover that and start reading it and enjoying it themselves. So it's cool to hear about this kind of thing. And speaking of enjoying self-published fantasy, what would kind of be your, or how do I want to ask this? Like, what's maybe been your favorite self-published read to date?
Oh man, I mean, I think I always default to Never Die because that was the first one that really got me into the self-published genre. And it was just, I loved the way Rob Hayes captured kind of that wire arts, Chinese martial arts feel in his book. So that I think will always be close to my heart. But I also have to give a shout out to The Ventifact Colossus by Dorian Hart.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just, it's such a fun D&D style adventure. It's unapologetic. Like, this is just an old school romp of, you know, a band of adventurers doing their thing. And it just warmed its way into my heart. And I was hoping to get to the sequel this month. I'm hoping I'll still have time. But it's just a fun little unapologetic adventure, and I really enjoyed that one.
Oh, that's really cool. And actually, I read The Ventifact Colossus some time back and have been meaning to get to The Crosser's Maze, I think, is the second one.
Yes.
And so I've been meaning to get to that forever and yep. just have not done it. And that's on me. So, But yeah, that's interesting. And actually, I think now like books 3 or maybe even 3 and 4 are out in that series. So, you know, which starts to become overwhelming. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but whether we're talking traditionally published fantasy or self-published fantasy, I can often become just overwhelmed at the number of new releases that are coming out.
Yes.
But that's particularly true for me in terms of self-published fantasy. I don't know. Rob Hayes puts out a list, like an upcoming self-published releases
yes,
list
the monthly
each month.
List, yes.
Yeah. And I go through and look through that, and I'm like, this is insane. There's just so much.
Yeah, this has been the pitfall of discovering self-published fantasy in that, you know, there are amazing books. Fantastic. Those are all amazing books that are now going on list next to all the traditionally published books I'm already trying to read. I'm just like, oh no, I've got another source of books to put on my TBR. What have I done? So, you know, it's a blessing and a curse.
That's right. It really is. And it's wonderful. I've said before, you know, I think we're really in kind of a golden age of fantasy. And for me anyway, in terms of my own enjoyment, a lot of that does come from some of these great self-published books that I'm getting to read and follow along in series and whatnot. A favorite of mine is the Cradle series by Will White.
Yes, I've heard a lot. I think David S. Was going on about those. Just tearing through them.
Yeah, they're incredible. And I feel like just knowing some of the other things you enjoy, I think they'd totally be right up your alley, and you would find a lot to love in those. But again, it's, you know, a series. Winter Steel, which is coming out in October, is like book number, you know, 7 or 8 in the series.
Right.
So, you know.
Trying to make time, man. It's all about trying to find the time.
Hey, if we could all just be like independently wealthy and not need to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can just sit around and read books all day, play video games. Life would be good.
Yep. Well, I'll get right on figuring that out.
Yeah, exactly. If you figure it out, let me know, because, you know.
Absolutely. we'll buy a castle and no one will ever bother us again.
It'll be phenomenal. It'll be phenomenal. So in terms of kind of self-published fantasy, then any weaknesses or dislikes that you've come to associate with self-published fantasy as you've read more of it here?
I will say, I think there's two things. One is with self-published, there's a little more of a hunt to find the ones that are either going to work for you or going to be good. And that's in part because there isn't that publisher backstop, you know, with traditional publishing. Obviously, I've read some terrible books I did not like from traditional publishers. But to some extent, you know, they kind of do the quality gatekeeping control, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like they've done the hard work. They've read through thousands of submissions to find the ones that we think they're going to click the best. And so you kind of have to do that yourself with self-published. And obviously, there is a wonderful blogging community out there to help you along the way. So, you know, I can turn to you and some others, Jason, and whatnot to kind of get the recommendations. But that's definitely a hurdle of kind of trying to like, okay, there's 1,000 self-published books out there. Which ones are going to work for me? And I think The other thing that can be hard with self-published is because, again, there isn't that kind of barrier of a publisher and an editor and a marketing team. It can be harder to emotionally review books that you've been submitted directly from an author, because it just feels like you're going to be having a conversation directly with that author one way or the other. They're probably going to be looking at your review. So it's like writing those reviews, you want to be honest, obviously, to your readers, but I also feel like sometimes I'm trying to be more circumspect with any negative thoughts I have, because I feel like it's just it's going to be more personal to the author. And that's not fair to traditionally published authors, because they are also heavily invested in whether or not people like their books. But it just feels a little more immediate with the self-published community, which is just something that's always kind of in the back of my mind.
Yeah, I think that's really fair. And, you know, it's something that, like, when you request, you know, an arc or something on NetGalley, you know, it's just, it's a more impersonal experience, right?
I mean, it's
you know, you're doing this through essentially a form, you know, a machine. And yeah, you get to know publicists and whatnot at the Big Five or whatever. And that's cool. And that's great. And sure, you want to maintain a good relationship or whatever, but you know, you want to be honest, and you're right. There is just that little bit more distance, you know, that I think can really help, as well as, you know, to some extent, rightly or wrongly, I think sometimes we perceive, you know, traditionally published authors as, you know, in some way having arrived.
Right.
And we maybe perceive self-published authors as the scrappy underdog, you know, still working to whatever. And again, still got to be honest, still got to tell it like it is. And, you know, cause we owe that to our readers, our listeners, you know, folks who are consuming our reviews, but.
Absolutely. And you know, you also, you know, I think it was Nicole Evans over at Thought Staying with Ink had been writing about this exact topic. And, you know, in some ways it's almost, if you don't give an honest review to self-published works, it's almost like slightly condescending, because you're
That's
like,
right.
Well, we don't think you can handle an actual review. It's like, you know, if self-published authors are out there, they want to be treated the same as far as, like, you know, with regard and whatnot, you owe them a review. You don't have to be mean about it. You should never be mean about it. But, like, you know, you should give your honest thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I think Nicole's really right about that. You know, you don't want to be condescending, you know, from that kind of reviewer perch or whatever. And so you do, you know, you do need to be honest or whatnot. Now, I also think it's interesting, kind of the first thing you mentioned, just in terms of finding the, you know, there's so much out there. And,
yes.
And the way I kind of describe it sometimes is cutting through the static. It's hard enough sometimes with traditionally published books, you know, that have ad campaigns and, you know, where there is kind of that publisher and a certain backstop in terms of, you know, every traditionally published book has been through some amount of, you know, copy edit, line edit.
Right.
And, you know, even if I don't like the story, or even if the characters don't connect with me, or even if I just, for whatever reason, hate the book, and you know, it's a 2-star review or whatever from me, there's still a basic level of editing and whatnot that has taken place on the manuscript. That's hopefully the case with self-published authors, but again,
right,
that's a, you know, those things cost money, and especially authors that are just starting out may not have the money to do that. And so a book may not have been through the same copy edits, line edits that, you know, a traditionally published book might have been through. And so that sometimes is a thing that I notice, and it makes it harder for me when it's not well edited. It makes it harder for me to get into the story.
Yes. And, like, you know, I definitely, with self-published, I try, because they don't have the same support system as a traditionally published book, I try to give them a little leeway. You know, I'm the person who, like, when they start noticing repetitive, you know, proofreading errors or whatnot, starts to twitch a little bit. It's just my innate nature. But you're right, you know, there are people who, you know, I hold myself to be a pretty good writer. I've definitely read reviews over the months later and realized I had some glaring typos that I didn't catch.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, we're all fallible, especially when you're doing it by yourself. And so I think that's definitely something to keep in mind with some of these self-published authors is they might have some awesome friends who are there to read their works and give them feedback and catch the typos, or they could just be doing this themselves and then throwing it out into the world to see what happens. So I try to give them a little understanding in that regards.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And to some extent, I think your enjoyment, like, don't get me wrong, there are self-published books where the authors have hired quite possibly the same editors who are editing traditionally published books.
Right.
So I don't mean to demean self-published books in any way. Yes, that absolutely happens. And frankly, probably for me, the majority of self-published books I read are quite well edited. Oftentimes that's because the ones that are not well edited, I DNF them or I don't pick them up in the first place.
Right.
And that's just because it's, again, for me, that kind of, when you're at like the level of like proofreading or a copy edit, you know, line it, whenever you're using the same adjective three times in a paragraph kind of thing, I'm like, and those things bother me, and I own that they bother me, but they will turn me off a book pretty quick.
Yeah, so. And that's one reason that I've kind of, especially when I'm looking at books, you know, I get submissions for reviews, you know, that summary paragraph can be huge, not just in telling me what the book is about, but also kind of giving me a feel for the writer's style.
Yeah.
And if, you know, that's something where if you can't get me hooked within that paragraph, or if I kind of notice, you know, even within that paragraph, there are typos or the syntax isn't just quite working. I'm kind of like, I think this one might be too rough for me to like give a fair review to. And so again, you know, that's a little more onus on the authors, you know, who are having to, you know, kind of jump that extra hurdle because of the self-published stigma, so to speak. But that's unfortunately all I've got to go to judge on, other than reading every single book that comes in my way, which is just not feasible.
Wait, you can't just read every book that you hear about or have submitted to you? You don't have the time to do that?
Shockingly no, Calvin.
Something you mentioned earlier, was traditional publishers, picking up self-published authors, and we've actually seen particularly Orbit do this quite a bit. And I'm curious, have you, some of those authors that were originally self-published, Devin Madsen or Evan Winter, for instance, have you picked their books up and read them since being traditionally published?
Yeah, so I didn't actually read them back when they were self-published. Know, this was kind of, again, right around the time when I had very well-meaning intentions, but hadn't actually gotten into reading self-published fantasy. And then Orbit was like, well, here, we're going to pick up Devin Madsen, we're going to pick up Rage of Dragons, we're going to pick up The Wolf of Oren Yarrow. Mm-hmm, and I was like, okay, I should get into these. So I have not had the experience of kind of reading the unedited versus the edited version, which, if I had the time, I'd love to do, just for a comparison's sake, to kind of see what the before and after was and how that process kind of worked, which I'm a nerd and find fascinating. But yeah, I have not, you know, quote unquote, discovered an author before the publishers got to it yet.
Yeah. That's, and to be completely honest, Devin Madsen, I read We Ride the Storm when it was a Spiffbo contestant.
Right.
So I read that there, but Rage of Dragons, The Wolf of Oren Yarrow, neither of those, I hadn't read either of them before they were picked up and traditionally published. So the only real one that I can even sort of do that with in my head is Devin Madsen. Though I suppose in some ways, Michael J. Sullivan is an example of, now he's a little different. He was self-published, got picked up, and now has gone back to self-publishing all of his stuff.
Yeah, that was a strange arc to kind of untangle at one point when I looked into his works. I've not gotten to him yet, but he's definitely on my list.
Oh yeah, and he's well worth reading. He's phenomenal. But you know, one series, his Legends of the First Empire series, actually started as traditionally published and then was completed as self-published. There's no discernible difference. Mm-hmm. You know, now in fairness, he's one that is hiring copy editors and line editors and, you know, all of that to make sure. And his wife, Robin, as well, is kind of professionally takes care of some of the self-publishing aspects of things. So, you know, all of that goes into it. But yeah, it's interesting to see how different self-published authors have been picked up, or some have, you know, even gone back to self-publishing, which is interesting in the case of Michael. So
true. Yeah. And there's also been a couple of traditionally published authors that have self-published, you know, series outside of their traditional writings that have been interesting to find. You know, I think technically the very first self-published work I read was, I hope I'm saying her name right, Eliette Desbaudard. Who wrote The House of Shattered Wings, I think was the first book in her series. But she wrote In the Vanisher's Palace, which was this short novella that was a Vietnamese Beauty and the Beast retelling where the beast was a dragon. And I absolutely fell in love with it. And I have not read her traditional works, but I am dying to, because just within that, you know, very short novella, she absolutely blew me away.
Yeah.
And Brian McClellan, another author, I haven't read his traditional works yet because they're massive, but I read his, you know, Valkyrie collections, which is, you know, a couple very short urban fantasy books, which were a delight.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, it's kind of neat to see. He also, I think in his Powder Mage world, published some, or self-published some shorter novellas that were like about side character kind of folks. So it's interesting to see even how traditional authors are, I think, taking advantage of some of the benefits of self-publishing.
Yeah, they can kind of do their experimental projects, or ones that the publishers maybe were like, not that one. They're like, you know what? I got the time. I'm going to put it out in the world.
Right, yeah. Well, and again, as a reader, I love that, because not that I need more books to put on my TBR,
right.
But I
but
love
I
having
say
more
no.
books. To put on. Exactly, right? Right. Speaking of TBRs, I know yours is mountainous, just like mine, but what are some self-published books that are on your TBR that you're looking forward to getting to but you haven't gotten to yet?
Well, definitely, I started Sword of Kaigan this morning, so
I saw that.
Finally happening. I've been meaning to read it for over a year, and just one thing or another put it off, but I was like, self-published fantasy month is coming, this is happening. So I'm doing that this morning, but some other ones, you know, I've had Chasing Graves on my TBR for almost as long as Sword of Kaigan. Fortune's Fool is one I'm interested in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want to read Rob Hayes' new series with Along the Razor's Edge, and Paternus Rise of Gods was another one that caught my eye. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
The list goes on.
I hear you. I was looking over my TBR. I have like several lists that I call my TBR.
Right.
you know, like, and one of them is just like, these are all the books I want to read.
Yep.
And so I was looking over that list today, and just like reminding myself even about books that like I'm so excited about, because I've heard about them through Spiffbo or through bloggers, or, you know, they in some other way they've come across my radar and they sound really interesting. They sound right up my alley, and I just don't have the time to, you know, get to all of them. So it's crazy, but some of the ones you've named are great. Fortune's Fool is amazing. The Sword of Kaigan, you know, I know you've seen me yak about that on Twitter and go crazy over it. It's amazing. Well worth your time. And
I don't think I've seen a negative review for that one, so I'm very curious how I'm going to feel about it. It's going to be an adventure.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I always get, those are the books that make me the most nervous,
right?
Frankly. Because I'm like, okay, everyone else loves this book. What if I don't?
Yeah, sometimes that happens and you're just like, yep. I guess I'm just going to go sit in a corner and not say anything because I don't want to ruin everybody else's enjoyment. But it didn't click with me for some reason.
Yeah. Yep.
So exactly. It happens. It happens.
It does. You know, and that's the great thing is, you know, different. You know, different strokes for different folks, you know,
like, exactly.
I think you and I even did kind of, for a book Once Upon a Time, kind of dueling reviews a little bit of it.
Yes, I remember that.
You know? So that it's fun sometimes, even whenever a book, it doesn't quite do it for you, like it does for someone else. So.
Mm-hmm.
But well, Caitlin, thank you so much for coming on and being willing to talk about self-published fantasy and your own kind of experience with it and whatnot. If folks want to learn a little bit more about you or follow your reviews or whatnot, where can they find you?
Absolutely. My home base is Realms of My Mind, which is at realmsofmymind.wordpress.com. You can find me at Twitter at @scmoviegirl. And I'm also on Instagram at Realms of My Mind. And as you mentioned, I review for Fantasy Book Critic. I'm not on the Spiffo judging team, so don't shower me with bribes or anything. But I contribute reviews over there to help keep things going. And it's been a great crew to come aboard on.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, well, once again, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, this is absolutely a delight. And I'm glad to be back.